This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. And actually, this is take two. Because I wasn't paying attention. And I actually ran myself out of space. Sadness. Ran myself out of space on my recorder. So this is take two. Which is just fine. We'll chalk that up to posterity. Anyways, all is well. We are puttering along. It's been a good week. It's turned out to be a little longer week simply because it was ramping up for the holiday schedule. So before I forget, Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year. This is episode 665, I think. And everything was good this week. I've got a lot of good things done with work, and that's all good. I'm at a really nice spot to take a little break, because next week most of the people in the building are out, and so I'll be home all next week with a little vacation. That's always lovely. And I've thought that I was ramping into like a deployment I was going to have to do as soon as I got back, and it was going to have some potential for not going okay. I mean, I had tested everything, but it was a little more extensive changes than I really wanted to be making at the end of the year and at the end of the month and end of the year, all that whole thing. But as it turns out, we didn't have to make those. We came up with a simpler solution. So yay, that's always lovely. And then I was working on a couple other little projects, got them wrapped up. And then I have one other project that I was working on, but I got to a really nice stopping place on that, left myself some notes so that I'm good to go when I get back. So yeah, all is well at work, all is well. It's interesting because I was reflecting again today. I have a little saying, be kind to your future selves. Because there is a future self 5 minutes from now, and an hour from now, and half a day from now, and a day from now, and a week from now, and a year from now, and a 10 years from now. And all those future selves, how they relate to life, what they're able to accomplish, they all rely on you in this moment. And I just think that we should all try to be kind to our future selves and to say, hey, I got your back. I made the preparations. I'm handing it off. So, you know, I think I'm to the place where I'm good. All is well. And we're moving forward. So work is good. Writing is good. For those of you who may not know, I actually write books in the evenings. I'm working on a series of 24 books. They're all about 450 pages. I try to do two a year. And the goal is to have this all finished when I retire. Well, close to finish. The year after I retire, I should be finished with the series, if all goes as planned. So I've got another 3 years, 3.5 years to go before I retire. And right now, I'm working on book 16 out of the 24. And so I'm right on schedule. And I'm back writing again, and I love writing. Normally this time of year, I am finishing up production copies for an odd-numbered book, since I normally do two books a year. And then once I get that done, then I can go back to the even-numbered book, which will be released in July of next year. So, and that's all on schedule at this point, so that's good. But I did get finished up with book 15 a little early, and so this week I just decided, you know what, we're going to go back and start working on book 16 again, although normally I wouldn't have this week to do that. So it's been lovely to be back writing again. And I think things are going fine for that book, and I'm pretty sure I know what's going on in book 16. Although, you know, these books, I get started, and one thing happens, and then I'm off to something else. But this is, this book 16 will be the end of the second set of eight. So the 24 books are organized into three sets of eight, and this will be the last book in that set. And as I've mentioned before, they are all structured around the poem by Yeats, W.B. Yeats, I think it is, called The Second Coming, which is just an awesome poem. It's just unbelievably good. It's 26 lines, really incredible use of words in such a tight, confined space. And I love it so much that I've been taking kind of one line or combinations of lines and using that as the emotional foundation for the book. So for book 16, that line out of the poem is something about, while all about wind shadows of desert birds. And then I'll launch into the final set of eight. And that stanza for the final set of eight is, the darkness drops again, and now I know that 30 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle, and what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. It's I love this poem. So the next set of eight books is where everything hits the fan. So so I've been working for a while to get all the pieces set up so this that last set of eight books, everything just goes bad. So this will be fun. So I'm pretty excited about getting book 16 done. I've been waiting to write book 16 now for a lot of books because there's a big dramatic ending to it. And so I'm pretty excited about the writing. And that all seems to be going well. The costumes are going well. So for those of you who might be new, I dress in costumes every week and go to Walmart and do my grocery shopping. And I find some sort of holiday to celebrate just to have that as, in case people are like, why are you dressed up? Well, it's such and such a day. You know, like last week was It's Ugly Christmas Sweater Day. And the week before that was, well, it's World Monkey Day. And the week before that was, it's International Day of the Ninja. So, you know. And, of course, next week is going to be, or tomorrow is Elf Day since it's Christmas. And then the week after that is New Year's. Week after that is National Argyle Day. So I have a jester's costume that I built last year. So it's just something to do, and it gives me a chance to say hey to people and visit and put a few smiles on a few faces. And it's just fun. Just fun. So tomorrow is Elf Day. That's always fun. And I have a real cute little elf costume that I've put together. And then I am still, I'm working on the New Year's Day costume because that one is new for this year. I do four or five new costumes a year and sort of rotate out the ones that I have. And if there's some interesting holiday that happens to land on a Friday, then, you know, I do some little extra effort for that. All of this activity has turned my office into a wreck. So I have some shelving units that I have bought that are on wheels. And that's part of my Christmas break project, is I've got to get my office cleaned up because it is just a disaster. So the costume's going well, though. I have a bunch of little things left on my list, but I don't have to have the costume finished until a week from tomorrow. I think I've got plenty of time. I think we're good. So it's been fun. And honestly, what drove me into this costume every week was COVID. I was doing kind of crazy socks and crazy t-shirts and an occasional costume, and then I had gotten to the place where it was almost one costume a month, and I was getting such good response from it. People seemed to enjoy them and laugh and smile. That when COVID hit and I could just feel the tension, you know, in the store, one thing led to another, and I thought, I can do this every week. So started that up in March of 2020. Been doing it now for over a year and a half. And it just has been fun. It's just fun. I look forward to it every week. Go to Walmart, have breakfast with a friend on Friday, usually at Cracker Barrel, go to the Walmart, see a few other friends, go to another restaurant on Saturday morning, which I won't do this week because it's Christmas. Go back to the Walmart, which I won't do this week because it's Christmas, on Saturday, say hello to a few more friends. And life is good. Life is very, very good. So I have been, I have very sporadic notes for today because I've touched against a few things this week and I thought, you know, I should just try to get down some of my thoughts on this. One of the things that this podcast does for me is it gives me a chance to put a stake down in the ground as to what I was thinking about at this stage in my life. What did I believe? How was I acting out in my life, my beliefs? What was I striving for? What was I attempting to accomplish? And I have to tell you that this week, as I've been working on the New Year's costume, there's some sadness. It's just, I had been hoping for some time, and in fact had talked to my family about this, that I was hoping that someone, sometime, somewhere, some historian would actually put out a fact-based, realistic analysis of what actually happened during COVID, because there is some weird stuff going on. Just very strange, strange things happening that you look at it and say, aren't we supposed to have the greatest medical facilities in the world? What is happening here? I have made a practice of trying to investigate things for myself that I consider important, and obviously I have considered COVID to be important, and so I have tried to find people who I believe are doing their best to communicate good information. And frankly, sometimes good information is hard to be had in this environment. So I heard someone, one of my people that I normally listen to, I heard them refer to another man named Scott Atlas and speak very highly of his ability as a researcher, his very sensible suggestions as to what we should be doing. I heard someone talk about the fact that he had been in healthcare policy for 15 years and had, in fact, served in a latecomer capacity to Trump's COVID policy board or something. And I thought, wow, that sounds very interesting. So I looked him up just to find a podcast where he was talked to on YouTube, found one, listened to the podcast, was very impressed with what I heard and his command of the statistics and command of the studies and all that sort of thing. And then he had just come out with a book called A Plague Upon Our House. And it was his experiences on the task force and his interpretations of what we should have been doing. And frankly, I just listened to it and there's just so much sadness there. Because what he's saying makes absolute perfect sense. And the research he did was just amazingly thorough. And by all accounts from his reports, the policies and procedures that were adopted and pushed by the people in charge on like the COVID task force weren't basing those decisions on science or on studies. They were just running off of anecdotal evidence and how many new cases were there and how many deaths there were, and not even trying to say, okay, when we say there were this many deaths and this is the actual fatality rate, what are we really saying? And you listen to all this and it's just like, oh, come on, what is going on? And the reaction of the national media to him and the reaction to everybody. Yeah, it's just... And things like the CDC director going before Congress and saying that the mask he was wearing was more effective than any vaccines would have been. And it's like, what are you all talking about? And it just seems like, well, not seems, there has been this shift. And maybe we're simply, maybe COVID just exposed it and it was all there all the time anyways. But it seems like there's been this shift away from any sort of desire to present facts and data and truth. And instead, what we're left with is tribalism and dogma. And in thinking about all of that this week, and in listening to the people I listen to, I was listening to an interview with Jordan Peterson. I think it was in a discussion that he had had with Ben Shapiro. I was listening to that, and Jordan Peterson started talking about the statement that Jesus had made. And I had heard Jordan Peterson talk about this before, but the way he said a few things really got me thinking about this statement and how profound it was and how important it was to understand the ramifications of the statement. And Jordan Peterson speaks very highly of Jesus to begin with, and this particular statement, I have heard him reference it many times, and that statement is, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And Jordan Peterson's interpretation of that statement is that it was the first record of the idea of the separation of church and state. I'm going to get my mail, one moment. That what you had in that simple statement, in just those few words, was the idea that there are domains that we operate in life. And that you need to understand that there are different domains. And you need to understand the principles of how to operate in those domains. And then Jordan Peterson went on to talk about the overlap of those domains and the dangers of the overlap of those domains. And then I started thinking about all that, and I was like, wow, this is really good. And so I just wanted to revisit that a little bit and maybe sort of add to it some other thoughts that I have about that. And when we talk about the statement that you should render unto God the things that are God and unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, what we're really talking about, to use very religious terminology, is we're talking about the divine versus the profane. And by profane, I don't mean it in the sense of profanity, but it's really more the divine versus everything that is not divine, which has carried an original definition of profane, that it is the earthly things. And the idea there of being aware of that separation is that we should understand that we approach these two things somewhat differently. And to give you an example, you know, if we get into politics or we get into policies like with COVID policy, and we want to discuss COVID policy and we want to come up with strategies for how we're going to figure out what to do with COVID, you really want to operate in the domain of the profane with that, or in the earthly with that. Because you don't want to get too dogmatic, especially when things are starting up. When we knew so little, you don't want to get too dogmatic. You want to stay calm. You want to keep your mind clear. You want to be very careful about the facts and review things and study and be honest with people and talk openly and say, there's a lot of stuff we don't know, but we're going to go forward a step at a time. You want to build bridges and you want to listen to all the different viewpoints. And that's how you'd like to proceed. And there's many other things in life like that, where you're having to make decisions and you're having to work with other people and live with other people. That you want to stay open. You want to be ready to hear. You want to do what James said. Be slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. That's a really good policy when it comes to things that are profane. Things that are divine have a different characteristic, because once you get into the realm of the divine, then what inhabits that world is the world of truth. And it's the world of righteousness. It's the world of morality and moral codes and how do we conduct ourselves with regards to each other. And in those situations, obviously, you're going to deal with things a little differently. Now, frankly, no matter which realm we're in, I think we should all be kind. I've got a car pulling in. Oh, I think this is my buddy. One moment. Hopefully, I will not kill this. Okay, so there's going to be a new puppy in the neighborhood. So that was... the young man who rents our rock house is here, and he's got a new puppy for his little kiddo, and it's a Great Pyrenees. So we're talking about puppy. It is bigger than the dog and the cats and everybody that we have. Anyway, so there's different domains here that we're dealing with, and no matter which domain we are in, I as a Christian, I as a follower of Jesus Christ, conduct myself by the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Doesn't matter what domain I'm in. But the domain of the divine tends to affect people differently and tends to move them towards behavior that we have seen in other religions, and frankly, we see in Christianity. We had our inquisitions, we had our crusades, we had our witch hunts, we've had all those things. And it's quite easy when you are dealing in the domain of these deep foundational things that govern how we value things in life, it's quite easy to fall into trouble and to move. And one of the things that Jordan Peterson was saying is that everybody will believe in something. Everybody will have a base morality. And you can say, no, I don't. I just believe in the science and I don't believe there's anything out there. But you will act as if there is meaning in life and you will value something. And the problem is, if you are not operating in a domain that has enough structure and has enough ability to create a society where disparate people of disparate views can work together, if you set aside the moral foundations that have allowed that, then what happens is you end up elevating things out of the profane into the level of the divine that really shouldn't be there, and then they get corrupted because they're out of place. And so then you end up with people focusing and narrowing and becoming obsessive about this, that, or the other, and not only do they refuse to allow anyone to have any other viewpoint, not only does that happen, and they become very binary in their thinking, and I'm right and you're wrong is just the natural consequences of that. It goes beyond just I'm right and you're wrong to I'm good and you're evil. Because now you've elevated things up out of the level of the profane and put it into the divine. And once that thing gets into the divine, it has to start carrying all the weight of a true moral code, and then it gets corrupted. So what we see here has happened, for instance, in just one example of many, many examples, is vaccination. Okay, well, vaccination in adults should be the purview of the adult. The adult should be able to make the decision as to whether or not they want to be vaccinated for something, and that should be that. But what we have seen is that despite the scientific evidence, despite common sense, despite all these things like previous infections and previous antibodies and immune system responses, despite all of that, what we have is we're in this situation where suddenly, whether or not you are vaccinated is some type of morality. Because if you are vaccinated, you're good. And if you're not, you're some kind of evil troll person. Because obviously you just want to kill people. And when anybody offers any other opinion, we have this priesthood that has to do their best to decide, to show that those are unqualified people, that they shouldn't have anything to do with us, that they are the unwashed, that they are the Philistines, that they're, you know, it's like the great Barrington Declaration that was put together by very learned people about an approach to COVID. And when asked about it, our medical officials in Washington, oh, they're just fringe people. They're just fringe. Yeah, be damned. That's ridiculous. They just want to kill everybody. And they, you get all of these things that are not actually dealing with what was suggested in the Great Barrington Declaration. What you get is this improper representation of what it said, and then, you know, an attack on the improper representation of what it said, and then a personal attack. I mean, it's just crazy. And you listen to this book, A Plague Upon Our House, and you just see this over and over and over again, that what we're ending up with is a kind of religious fervor about the direction we should take in this country. And it's not based on any science. It's not based on any studies. It's just based on we feel like this is what we should do. And look, here's this anecdote that proves I'm right. And if you don't agree with me, then you must be evil. This, my friends, is not a good situation. But I don't know where we go from here without reestablishing some kind of moral code that actually allows for dissension, that allows people to have different opinions, and allows people to disagree without having to be excoriated. I mean, the tribalism that has been created in large part because we have set aside a workable moral code in the Judeo-Christian ethic, and we have adopted moral codes that place values on all these things that are in the profane that have then been elevated up to the divine. Yeah, this situation is not good. this is not good. And so in our own lives, I think what is crucially important is that we stay with love, that we stay with the fruits of the Spirit, and then arm ourselves with some very, very simple rubrics, simple, you know, low resolution rules to kind of look at what's happening and say, okay, is this something that I should pay attention to, or is this something I should shy away from? I would suggest to you that anything that generates within you something beyond the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you need to back up and be careful with that thing. Because if it's something that's generating a lot of anxiety and fear and anger and envy and those things in you, there's something wrong with that. So back up, try to figure out what's going on. I think also, as we've mentioned in the past, that it's very important to pay attention to where people locate the origins of evil. Because if what happens in tribalism is evil is always in that other tribe. You know, that we are the righteous ones and those people are the evil ones over there. And you have to be very, very careful about that. Because that tribalism, once you locate the origin of evil in someone else and you call it evil and you believe it's evil, then you are justified in doing anything to that other other tribe there because they're evil. And so I think we want to not only follow the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, we need to constantly remind ourselves that the origin of evil is from within us, that we are all capable of acting in ways that miss the mark, that we are all capable of being unkind and ungenerous and envious and ugly to others. And we have to realize that we're struggling with the same things. And in doing that, then I think that helps us even in something as simple as having an opinion and believing it's right and then having someone oppose us and allowing ourselves to say, you know what, I'm having a reaction to the fact this person has opposed me, but this is outside the boundaries of the fruit of the Spirit, so I need to slow down. And I need to recognize that there is evil within me that has the capability to deceive me. And so I need to be careful. I need to be careful. I need to listen. And I just need to see if we can come to some consensus of understanding, or at the very least, come to a place where I understand the other person's viewpoint. And if I choose to disagree, I choose to disagree. But it's not because I'm having some knee-jerk reaction, because they're quote-unquote threatening my status or quote-unquote embarrassing me or whatever. That's not the reason to disagree, especially on something that's so fundamental and important as COVID policy. But unfortunately. So I highly recommend the book A Plague Upon Our House by Scott Atlas. But there is sadness there. And all I would have to say is just pray for our country. And let's do whatever we can to bring some kindness and generosity and love into this mix, because we need this. We need this. And we need a re-embracing of the idea that we are all struggling with evil and that we all need to help each other and be as kind and as generous and loving as we can to each other. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.